When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please, come lay your hands on her that she may get well and live." He went off with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed upon him. There was a woman afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years. She had suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors and had spent all that she had, yet she was not healed but only grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured." Immediately her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who has touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to Jesus, "You see how the crowd is pressing upon you, and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. The woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" This regarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid, just have faith." He did not allow anyone to accompany him inside except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, he caught sight of a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. So he went in and said to them, "Why this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they ridiculed him. Then he put them all out. He took along the child's father and mother and those who were with him and entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talita kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. At that they were utterly astounded. He gave strict orders that no one should know this and said that she should be given something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In 8th and 9th chapter of the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, St. Paul writes about collection made for the church in Jerusalem. He is inspiring Corinthians just as he inspired other communities to give of what surfaced to them to those who were in need, the Christians in Jerusalem. Collection for the Church of Jerusalem, so it is called. We have heard, as Paul writes, not for you to have something in abundance and you to lack, but give of what suffices to you so that we all have equally. He is inspiring Christians of his time, and so is inspiring today us on to solidarity, to share what we have with those who are in need, and there are many around us, many throughout the world. Why is Paul collecting collection for Christians in Jerusalem? We know that church started to act in Jerusalem. The community of Jerusalem is like a mother to all other communities. This is why Paul is inspiring other communities to give what they can for the church in Jerusalem, because we are all one church, we are brothers and sisters, one in Christ. There is no, later he says, no man, no woman, no slave, no free man, no Greek, no Jew. You are all one in Christ. This is why he is inspiring people in other communities to give of what they have for the community of Christians in Jerusalem, who were there indeed in need, because first persecutions of Christians started in Jerusalem. Remember Deacon Stephen, who was martyred, and Paul was present there when Stephen was stoned to death. And let us recall that Paul, as a Pharisee, persecuted the church, persecuted the Christians in Jerusalem, and I think it is out because of that reason that he feels obliged and inspired to do the collection for Christians in Jerusalem. And he uses many arguments when explaining that, and I would like to point out the most beautiful one, the one we heard in the second reading. Paul says, so that you may come to know how generous is our Lord Jesus Christ. Although he was rich, for our sake he became poor, so that by his poverty we might become rich. How beautiful this sentence sounds, but brothers and sisters, at first this sentence is hard to understand. What does it mean that Jesus became poor so that we may be enriched by his poverty? Paul, brothers and sisters, speaks of incarnation of the Son of God. He speaks of Son of God who became man, Son of God, the second divine person. He's rich of in life, he's full of life and all goodness, he's the perfection of life. And Paul says, when the Son of God becomes man, he becomes poor, he humbles himself. Why? In the letter to Philippians, Paul says,
zato što on vječni,
that Jesus, eternal, almighty God, becomes fragile, becomes limited man. We know and we believe that the Son of God did not cease to be God once he became man. With his divine nature, he united human nature. But brothers and sisters, Paul says in a way he became poor. Why? For us people and for the sake of our salvation, so that we may be rich. He became man in order to teach us how to live together with God, how to be the child of God in our life, and how to enjoy in the richness of life in God. Richness in Croatian language comes from the word God, the root. Bogatstvo, Bog means God. You can have as many houses as you have, as much money as you have, but that is all transitory, spendable. God, brothers and sisters, is the only one who is eternal. He is the only true human treasure. He has become a man in order to enrich us with God's life, with divine life. How to become rich with Jesus' poverty? I would like us together tonight to reflect upon this, and these messages apply in our life in faith. Based on these readings and this Eucharistic celebration, I would like to point out three messages. First, The treasure, true richness, is what Paul is talking about. Jesus became poor for us to become rich. From Jesus' conception to his death, it is a life of poverty that can enrich us. We say, when reading some good book, that we are spiritually enriched, that that book does us good, it helps our common sense, our soul, our will, it enriches our innerness. And gospel, brothers and sisters, imagine what gospel is the treasure for us, the teaching of the church. And in gospel we learn about Jesus Christ, about his life, about his behavior, about his relationship toward the men, about his words and acts, and we learn how he lives so that we may live like that. Dear brothers and sisters, if some book is salvific for us and enriches us, then it is gospel, then it is Holy Scripture, but especially gospel that is the pinnacle of the Holy Scripture. To read about Jesus and get to know him, that is such a treasure for us who believe. I wish that we approach that treasure every day. May not a single day pass by without us reading at least one verse, one short chapter from gospel, getting to know Jesus Christ and learning how by his example to live as a child of God. The second message, as we have heard in the gospel, about the miracle of healing of a woman with hemorrhage who was healed, and she touched Jesus' cloak. Crowds were following Jesus from the coast to the house of Jairus, but Jesus felt one touch of one sick woman who touched his cloak with faith. She believed, if only I could touch his cloak, I would be healed. And that, brothers and sisters, precisely happened. The touch of her faith, Jesus felt. Evangelist says the power left him. His power that brought health back to this sick woman. From his glorious resurrection to this day, Jesus Christ the Lord is with us till the end of times, till the end of the world. He's alive, he's present God, and he's here with us in Medjugorje, as well as with all of you who are listening to us, united with us through Radio Mir Medjugorje. Jesus Christ is alive and with us. But brothers and sisters, I dare to say that he is present as a poor one with us. Why do I say that? Because obviously he is not present. He's not present now in his glory, but in the mystery. Somebody can come to Medjugorje who does not believe in Jesus Christ, and what will this like to him, look like to him? Many people gathered here. Some man is speaking to them, shouting at them, and that's it. But the one who believes, one who looks with the eyes of faith, he knows that Jesus, Lord, the Christ, is alive and present here. He is, brothers and sisters, the one who has gathered us here around this altar. He is showing us his mercy in the sacrament of reconciliation. He alive is with us, and we, brothers and sisters, can touch him with faith. Each one of us. And his power, his strength, will come onto us. We have experienced that already so many times. When we had hard times, when we were crying to Jesus, we felt the power of his grace within us. Brothers and sisters, we do that every day with faith that Jesus is with us, that he never ever abandons us. Let us touch him with faith every day. Let us beseech him, just as Jairus beseeched him. Come to my house, my daughter is dying. And Jesus didn't hesitate, did not postpone it, immediately went there. Jesus, brothers and sisters, is going to help us immediately as well in our weaknesses, when we are going through hard times, when we are psychologically pressured, when we have poor relationships within family and people around, when our job is burdening us. Jesus is always with us, and he wants to give us his strength. He wants to vibrate through our whole being so we may live with his strength. In the second letter to the Corinthians, Paul says, when I am weak, I am strong, because in me who am weak, it is the strength of Jesus Christ that is visible, being revealed. Brothers and sisters, in faith, in prayer, let us touch Jesus every day so that his strength can come unto us, so that his power can penetrate us, and so that we may walk along the path of God. As I said earlier, it is important to read gospel, to learn how Jesus lived. But if I know how Jesus lived and yet I'm not living by that example, then it's all in vain. I have to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. But we are weak. So many times we made a decision. We brought a resolution. Yes, Jesus, I want to be yours. But then again we fell. Again we went astray. Therefore let us pray him every day for his strength, so that he, our Lord, may guide us along his path toward eternal life. And finally, brothers and sisters, we are celebrating the Holy Eucharist. In a few moments, priest will stand before you, my brother and sister, and will tell you the body of Christ. And you will say, Amen, I believe. So it is. This is the body of Christ. This is the bread that comes from heaven. That is my Lord who gives himself to me as my nourishment. And I am asking myself here, is there any greater way to become poor and more humble than the fact that in Holy Eucharist the Son of God becomes host, he becomes piece of bread for us? There is nothing more humbler than that. The love of God has no boundaries, and I dare to say that there is no greater treasure in the church than the Holy Eucharist and Holy Communion. He who gives himself in that fragile little piece of consecrated host, there is no greater treasure than that. Dear friars here in Medjugorje could have built enormous church. It could be built of gold, but one consecrated little host is more valuable than all gold and treasure of the world. God is giving himself to us because he comes into us during Holy Eucharist. Let us receive that treasure in faith, and let us become rich by consuming him in the host. A lovely poem for children says, host is small but great. You from a distance cannot see how small host in my hand is, but how great it is because God lives in it. In that faith, let us receive Jesus into our being so that he may transform us, so that he may fill us with his strength, with his divine life. And at the end, the thought of St. Teresa of Avila, I'm not sure whether I will quote her precisely, more or less in these words, she says, may nothing fear me nor confuse me. Everything passes by, only God remains. Who is patient will achieve everything, and who has God doesn't want for anything. Only God is enough. Dear brothers and sisters, everything is transitory. Our body hair is falling off. We use food and it may be wasted. Everything passes by. Only God remains, and he alone is enough. Only he can nourish us. He can quench the thirst of my soul and my heart. Dear brothers and sisters, in that faith, here we have come this evening to Medjugorje, and with that faith we are listening to this Holy Eucharist, listening to Radio Mir Medjugorje. Only God is enough, and she, Mary, the Queen of Medjugorje, the Our Lady of Medjugorje, the Queen of Peace, she's telling us that with her life, she's telling us here in Medjugorje, my son is enough, only he is enough. Listen to him, follow him. A simple, modest girl from Nazareth teaches us that God is greatest good. She is poor in many things, but she is rich in God, and she is our example. May her example and through her intercession, all these earthly things that we use on our life path be nothing else but be the means for the current living, but may our true and only treasure and richness be Christ the Lord. May we here on earth, becoming enriched by his poverty, one day we may reach heaven and continue to be enriched in his glory in eternity, once when the day comes to look at him face to face. Amen.